What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 8th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, don't shush me, Kevin, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki Doki. Hey, it's great seeing like the smile rictus before you get the signal to start the show, this behind the scenes wonder.
Oh yeah, you know what it's like.
I mean, you're always a smiler. You're a natural smiler. You smile constantly.
No.
Oh, you're a great smiler.
Thank you. I want you to know it's not natural, though.
Really?
I feel. This was always one of my things I used to say about to people when they'd watch Up at Noon. Is that if you watch an Up at Noon interview, every time I'll be this, and then I'll eventually start smiling and stuff.
Yeah.
And every time I would think to myself, smile. Because when you did the shows, think about how you normally listen to somebody.
Yeah.
Right? You just listen. And like no one else is, there's not an audience watching you going, why is he so mad? He clearly isn't enjoying this. Da, da, da. And like you got in, so it wasn't natural. I had to learn when I was on camera to smile.
Well, that's a delightful courtesy. That
even right there, that's not a natural smile.
I'm just you're like, making an effort to be nice, though. That's somehow even better than a natural smile.
You know, I want to radiate that. I want to radiate the good vibes, the positive vibes, welcome people into the show.
I think you accomplished that. I was watching that wonderful clip one of the kids did of the Rogue One yesterday, kind of drifting off. And you got
miles away.
Oh, that was good. I was miles away. It's a beautiful moment. But the look on his face when they do the slow-mo and it just
just staring off into nothing.
And I've been there. We've all been there, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, totally. Where you just get lost in your own thought.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's why it was like such an honest, awesome moment. And that's why this show works.
Yeah.
Honest moment.
This show works in a lot of ways. I'm glad to be here today. I'm excited. I feel like I'm kind of slipping into the groove a little bit here.
You had a big old hunk of ham for breakfast?
I did have a big old hunk of ham. But, well, I didn't eat the whole...
Instagram.com/GameOverGreg. You can check it out yourself.
To be clear, I didn't have the whole ham for breakfast. Okay. What I do is I buy these hams and I cut slices of them off for snacks. And then I take once it's down to hand size, apple size, then I just start taking bites out of it and I keep it in a little Tupperware dish and I just feed on it for days.
Because you're doing the keto?
I'm on keto, yeah.
The keto-kalin diet?
No, not the keto-kalin diet. That'd be an interesting diet. I don't know how that one goes.
You just live in somebody's spare house and mooch off them.
Sounds amazing, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not a bad one.
No, I'm doing ketosis, which is effectively Atkins or something like, it's kind of like Whole30, but harder.
Okay.
And it helps for me. Again, now we've been talking gimmick diets literally since the Beyond days.
So
when I tried to live on soup for a while and it almost killed me.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
I had that big vat of cheese that one time. Me.
Yeah, you had the cheese vat. I remember the cheese vat.
Well, I found out don't eat soup every day because soup has a lot of salt in it. That's really bad for your blood pressure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I went and got blood pressure. Anyway. But I did lose a lot of weight last year, and then when I got badly depressed, I gained a lot of it back.
Yeah, but now you're back on the ham apple train.
Well, ketosis, which is a low-carb, high-protein diet, is very good for losing weight quickly and getting into a more healthy jump start.
Sure.
And then I'll gradually move into a calorie-counting, more sustainable diet. But that takes time. So it's a long-term plan. This is like a two-year thing.
Oh, wow, okay.
Well, I mean, look at me. I'm morbidly obese. So this is not the news of the day, by the way. I don't know if this is what the
viewers
want.
We haven't even
started
the show. When the top of the show, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, well, good.
There's only like three people right now. Go, just talk about the Division II already.
Well, I weigh over 250 pounds, and I'm trying to get down to 180. So that's
a 70-pound
journey.
Wow. You know,
that's a very long trip for me.
Okay.
But I do believe I can do it, and I'm on pace to do it.
Right.
And I certainly feel better.
Really?
And it's a combination of diet and exercise and watching what goes into my body and all that. I'm capable of losing weight. I just stress eat.
Don't want to.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah,
I'm not huge on sweets, although, man, I do love ketchup. I miss ketchup on keto more than anything.
Okay.
Because that ketchup.
A lot of sugar in there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots. There's a lot more sugar in ketchup than you think about, too.
Yeah.
Like, look at the label, and you're just like, it's like 3 grams per teaspoon. Well, it's fine, except you don't put a teaspoon on your fries. You put 10 teaspoons on your fries, and suddenly you have like a Mountain Dew's worth of sugar right there on your fries. That's not good. Don't want to do that.
If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD. Questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun, including bad PSN names, your own topics, and more. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a very special job. You need to go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listening later on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify.
You said under the video game sun. Everything under the video game sun. What's your favorite video game sun?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because mine definitely, obviously, the one in Mario 3.
Yeah.
The sun that comes down to kill you.
Sure.
How that's not a Smash Brothers level, I can't figure that out. Like, that needs to be a Smash Brothers stage where you're fighting in the desert and the sun comes down to
I always appreciate a good, like... 8-bit / arcade, old school arcade Sun.
Ooh.
Like something like Daytona USA or like, that's an, you know what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Cruising USA.
Yeah.
Pole Position.
So you're like just having that Sun off in the distance?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, like I remember like, yeah, like when I'm thinking of for Pole Position, right? If I'm right. Okay. Wait, what was the knockoff? Pole Position was the Nintendo one, right?
Well, there was Pole Position, there was Turbo, there was Outrun,
Outrun was the Master System one. What is the Master System racing game I had?
Enduro? Was it Enduro?
Maybe.
There's actually more than one. So okay. But Outrun is the one everybody thinks of with the sunset. My favorite 8-bit sunset is in volleyball, Atari volleyball, where it gradually goes down and becomes a sunset. And like the volleyball game is over either when somebody scores highest or when the sun's down and it's too dark to play anymore.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then the sky changes color, and then like the shark comes along the water. You can see his fin.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
These are cool, man.
They are.
I like them. We're going to talk about them today. But first, housekeeping. We are fewer than 500 subs from 230,000 subs over on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Please go toss a subscription. It costs you nothing. Maybe you're one of these podcast people. You've never done it before. Maybe you don't even use it, but if you have a Gmail, guess what? You got a Google account, so you can go over there and subscribe. It'd be great.
It's real good.
Fan mail on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you should give us some money over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you enjoy the show, you think we do a good job. Fan mail is going to be for the next month. Well, you do it this month, you'll get it next month. You get a birthday card from me for my birthday. I'm giving you the birthday card, which you can open as soon as you get it or on your birthday.
You're like a hobbit. You give presents away on your birthday.
Is that what it is?
That's a hobbit.
Thank you.
Yeah,
people absolutely. Have been saying it's confusing, and I've been like, no, but now I got
you just got a hobbit birthday. That's what you do.
Jared, I put on housekeeping. You have news about your next show. What's going on?
Yeah, my next show comes
out. Hop, blip, and a jump.
A hop, flip. Blah, 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 blah. I forgot how to say my next show.
Yeah.
Hop, blip, and a jump. The next episode, we had a debut episode last month, followed by a Patreon campaign, kind of a whirlwind tour of the podcast circuit, saying hi to people, drumming up support, and I've been hard at work in getting the episode together. So next Friday, not this Friday.
Okay, a week
next
from Friday.
Week from Friday, the second episode will be going up. It's about console wars. If you're a patron at the early access level, you get it on Tuesday.
Okay, great.
The next week. So, I'm excited about it. Console Wars is a topic it's near and dear to my heart. And I think the take that we're going to take on it here is different than what you've encountered in a lot of places before. I'm of the opinion that the console wars can be horribly destructive, but console differences and platform differences actually have made video games much, much better.
All right. I'll be looking for that next week on Tuesday. Also, it's a big week. No, that's not right. It's a big day for Kinda Funny today. When we wrap the live recording of Kinda Funny Games Daily, of course, there's a Nintendo Direct today that is beginning to get too out of control with hype, as they always do. We will be, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, watching it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You're invited to watch it along with us, react along with us. When it's done, we'll put that up on YouTube, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get it there. Then, directly after that, we're recording the next episode of the Kinda Funny Games Cast with Jared Petty, with myself, with at Tim Geddes. That you can watch live if you're a patreon.com/kindoffunnygames person, or you can get it later on Friday if you're one of them Patreon people, or you can get it for free on Monday. However, I bring this up not just to pimp it because it keeps the lights on and the mics going, also because housekeeping wise, you're going to talk about Space Cats with Lasers on that show.
That's right.
What you've been playing recently.
We brought up Space Cats with Lasers on Games Daily, and if you want to find out what Space Cats with Lasers is about, tune in to Gamescast today, because I did go back and play it and some interesting observations to make about Space Cats.
Can't wait to hear about it. And then, of course, today, Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. A very subdued Cool Greg. You feeling okay? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Did you ever put on a shirt?
No.
Okay. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one. The Division 2 is real. It will be at E3. You are allowed to freak out because The Division is awesome.
You be Division guy.
Hoo-wee, I love The Division.
Expound.
The Division was awesome.
Yep.
It's one of the. It was a game that when it first got debuted and we saw it, me and Alfredo nerded out about it at E3, I remember. And we said we'd play together. And then Alfredo abandoned me, of course, to go play on Xbox like an idiot. I played on PlayStation, though.
Console Wars.
Yeah, true. But trophies. Anyways, I played on PlayStation and it was the first game as a service that I think really got me. You know, I've talking about Monster Hunter around this time now. Last year was Friday the 13th. I've talked about Marvel Heroes, always in Destiny 2 and yada yada. But The Division was the first one where I saw it and I'm like, man, I really want to play that. And will it be as good as it looks like it will be? Will I actually stay engaged with it? Blah, blah, blah. And it all happened where I saw day three, got excited, played it when it came out and played, you know, hundreds of hours, I feel like, with Fran and a whole bunch of other folks running around doing stuff. Took an obscene amount of time off, I think maybe a year, then came back and platinumed it. Jumped back in and played with Fran Moore and enjoyed it.
Now, you came back when it was fundamentally a different game, right? I mean, the Division...
It wasn't that far. Now,
really? Okay.
The new thing, the most recent patch, and I still, because I'm still in the Division subreddit and stuff, the most recent patch is the one where they added the new area and did all this new stuff, and people were like, this is like a new game all over the place.
Yeah.
But I digress. I want to get into your Division 2 thing.
Of course.
Massive put out the following statement. It's very long. I'm abbreviating to this, which is already long. Following our year 2 anniversary celebration, we're going to keep supporting that experience with new title updates that will bring new global events, Xbox One X enhancements, and more. We're thrilled to announce that we are working on Tom Clancy's The Division 2, and that development will be led by Massive Entertainment in collaboration with Ubisoft Reflections, Red Storm Entertainment, Ubisoft Annecy, Ubisoft Shanghai, and... Ubisoft, Bucharest.
Bucharest? I think so.
Okay.
I don't speak the language. I'm just taking a guess.
The Division 2 will be powered by an updated version of the Snowdrop engine that enables us to realize our ambitions for the sequel. But more importantly, we're also taking everything we learned over the past 2 years and applying it towards the sequel to make sure we get it right. Part of that means recognizing your commitment to the Division. With that in mind, we are adding a new type of achievement called Shields to the game. Earning them will unlock special rewards in the Division 2 when it launches. On behalf of all the teams at Ubisoft, we thank you for the support you've given us over the past 2 years, and we hope our continued work will earn that support for many years to come. We can't wait to show you what we have in store for the Division 2 at E3 2018 in June. See you then. Julian, the creative director over at Massive Entertainment. Bravo. Bravo, everybody.
Okay, so you liked The Division when it first came out. You were dedicated
Correct.
To it before the change.
And came back a year after, yeah. Like, right? So like, we'll say, so it came out, then a year, I come back, I platinum it, I play more of it, still enjoy it, still think it's awesome.
So as an outside observer, because The Division was never my thing,
sure.
Looking in from outside, what sure. I typically saw from people in the Division community was, woohoo, done with this.
Yeah.
New release, done with this. Whoa, it's great now.
Yeah.
That wasn't your experience. Do you think the Division...
It kind of was, right? Woohoo! And then I went away.
Okay.
And then I came back, and then I went away.
Are you comfortable with the Games as a Service kind of sine wave? Or
100%.
Do you think the Division 2 will find a way to actually make that a fairly consistent hill?
I think that they had their own consistent audience, right? That subreddit does pop off, and people are still playing all that jazz. I think for me and for most gamers... a game as a service, one of these never connected experiences that never ends kind of games,
yeah.
Is always and should always be that sine wave.
Okay.
I it's the same, and it should be achievable, right? That's the thing that it's going to, I think, come up later, maybe not. Somebody wrote in about Destiny 2. And like, hey, you know, it hasn't been this runaway success and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. I played Destiny 2 at launch.
Yeah.
And for like, what, a month and a half? I played it when the December content came out, so a month and a half, we'll say. Platinumed it. Loved it. Am excited for whenever Destiny 2 does the next giant drop and then everybody says it's fixed. It's these people who are the ones that are on that constant wave that have the most concern, problems, this, that, and the other. For me, somebody who wants to jump in and play a lot and enjoy my time and then leave and come back when there's a big thing, I'm fine with the way they did it. Mm-hmm. And now, granted, as I've said before, I'm not the Destiny 1 kid, right? I came in with Destiny 2 really being the one I'm going to commit to and play with and have a great time with. Right now, it's the same with Monster Hunter World, where Monster Hunter World, for more than a month now, has been my life.
Yeah.
Which is great and awesome, but as somebody who talks about video games professionally, I need to play something else. And so, as we wait now, pretty much, I think, till Far Cry gets here,
yeah.
I'm ready to come down on that slope, right? Even though we're going to come up that they have new stuff coming and all this jazz.
So, are games as a service the modern-day equivalent of event TV, of must-see TV? I mean, there was a time
That's
when a TV, before you could record it,
yeah.
Before it was easily recordable, everybody watched TV at the same time. You went home, and you had to make sure you were sitting in that chair at 8:30, but so was everybody else in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all watching this because you knew something special was about to happen, and the next day you all went and you talked about it at work the next day, and that was that. Or when a miniseries was going on, you went home every night and watched it.
Sure.
So you'd come to work the next day and talk Thornbirds.
Sure.
I know that's... Is this the replacement for that?
I would argue that video games in general are that.
Mm.
Everything, like the reason people have their piles of shame, these games that are shrink wrapped that they bought on day one and never did it right, it's because we all want to be part of that conversation.
Mm.
You, me, everyone watching this, everyone on the subreddit or the forums or Facebook, we all love talking about games, so you want to talk about stuff while people are super into it. Even now, I'm still obsessed with Monster Hunter, but there's a dramatic decline in, I think, the amount of people who want to hear me talk about Monster Hunter, right? Because it's no longer the immediacy hot thing. It mm-hmm. still is. Holy shit, can you believe how well it's doing? Yeah. We're going to talk about this news that's coming up in terms of like their next announcement. When that happens, people will be all over it. But I would say it's a law of diminishing returns for any game, period, let alone any game as a service, where we come out and that's our big thing and we're the big topic, but when we get the next giant event, it's still going to be less people that care about it. More people are going to come back, but uh-huh. it's never going to get back to that fever pitch.
I think there's a lot of credence to what you're saying here. I have a friend named Strawfoot who makes Monster Hunter videos. That's sure. something he really enjoys. He's really good at it. What about he's going to keep making those even right. after the zeitgeist is over. Is sure. there a game that's ever gotten its claws into you and just held you longer than it should have?
DC Universe Online.
That was the one?
Yeah. That was okay. my first MMO that checked the boxes of what I wanted, right? I always wanted to exist in DC. I always wanted to live in Metropolis.
Yeah.
So to be in there and be a hero and tell my own story, yeah. But like, what it was, 700 hours, 750 or something into yeah. it? Like, that was a game that, you know, and that was me playing nonstop in the beginning and then taking like a year off and then coming back and going back down.
So what made the difference? What was it about it?
Right place, right time. I think it was setting. I think it was world building, right? Like we probably haven't ever talked about this, right?
But
like,
not you and I, no.
There's a classic Greg Miller memory of walking home with my friends after school. And of course, I went to Catholic school from kindergarten through 12th grade. Mizzou was the first time I went to a school without a uniform on. And we were walking home down my sleepy suburban street or whatever in unincorporated Glen Ellen. And I was talking to one of my friends about it. And we were having this conversation, as fourth graders do, about, well, what is heaven? And I proposed the idea that I think everyone's heaven is personalized. So then there's this argument of like, well, if I'm in your heaven, like, and I'm like, but like when we're dead, it's not like you just exist in one place. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, I was like, and then they asked me, so like, what is your heaven? And I was like, my heaven is I live in Metropolis and I have superpowers. So DC Universe Online is literally my version of heaven.
Okay, that makes
right?
sense.
Right. So when that game dropped and I played it, like, God, I sat through so many bugs and crashes and lost whatever. And then eventually I made a missive on IGN, right? After like a month and a half of like, I've put so much hours in this, I'm leaving. Like, it's unacceptable where this game is at, right? Yeah. And it was like, part of it being I was still a reviewer, part of it being, I was still kind of a personality, but it was like, and it was on my IGN blog, but it still was, I remember I did it. And then at GDC, the person who was in charge of SOE at the time, I passed him and he stopped me, he grabbed me. He's like, we're going to fix it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and it was a conversation, let alone with a press person, but it was with a very big fan of like, mm-hmm. we know where this isn't working. And like, you know, 6 months, a year later, whatever it was, and when I came back, it was, and then you reinvested in it. But it was the fact that, I mean, it's the same reason MMOs or game as service now or whatever right. works for a lot of people, is that I loved that loop and I loved fighting alongside Superman and getting Oracle talking to me and yeah. going through and seeing what Brainiac was. And like, and it was, that is not even was, is a game that is designed for, hey, huge fucking comic book nerd.
Yeah.
Here is the, let alone then they reboot the universe. Like, that's still pre New 52 universe. That's right. still that is still my fucking jam of DC. And so like, that's it.
I think it's absolutely lovely. I do agree with you with the sentiment that the zeitgeist is important, that it's fun to be a part of a community. But I've also long been a fan of discovering things I missed. Like, I actually like sure. missing things and looking back in time.
Yeah.
I mean, I babble and babble about old games. I played a lot of games when I was younger, but a lot of these are things I discovered much later in life
yeah.
too, and go back to. And so I do love those passionate touchstone games. I think about something like The Division, which didn't pull me in, and I wonder, who is it out there that this is what
why didn't it pull, did you try to play it?
Exactly.
Did you try it?
Yeah, and it didn't grab me.
It was the same idea of, and I mean, granted, I know this is for me like baby's first whatever multiplayer game, because I wasn't doing that kind of stuff before, and mm-hmm. like, Destiny didn't speak to me. I liked that it was grounded in New York. I liked that it was set that way. I liked how you unlocked gear. I liked, you know, going through and customizing my character and putting yeah. on sunglasses and doing stuff. But what I liked the most about it was hopping on or texting Fran and us getting on, and then Brendan would join us or Tyroot would join right. us, or this would happen, or we're just going to play with fans, and like, us running through. And it's the same thing of any video game like this, right? It's the same thing as Monster Hunter of, fighting Joe Ferrero or whatever the hell the fireman's name was the first time and barely fucking making it.
Yeah.
And then coming back 15 hours later and just cleaning his clock, right?
And just seeing, going back through.
Seeing and, the awesome yeah. drop over there and running and getting it and opening this stuff up and like, what are we going to get and how
that
is it going?
That Diablo loop, that wonderful
connection. Yeah, it was a great setting. It was a great online experience that worked. You know what yeah. I mean? And the Dark Zone was awesome. Like, they had a bunch of cool stuff in there. And they did a lot with universe building, which brings me...
Yeah, I was going to say, I have another question, but I think it's this guy's question.
We have
question.
Two questions about the Division yeah, 2. A lot of you wrote in. I'm glad you're so excited. Barius wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. It says, Greggy, I am so happy the Division 2 is coming out. I hope they don't fuck it up. Keep all the good shit and integrate more stuff into what is a great game already. Any thoughts of what they could do? Thanks, and keep fucking that fat old chicken. Barius, using the curse words. I don't like it. I don't fix what isn't broken. And from what it sounds like they're doing with the update they put out with the new yeah. area and the new stuff, people are into it. I think the shields is such a great idea mm-hmm. of like, hey, it's a game I loved. It's a game I platinumed. And now they're adding something in there that's, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to hit up Fran when this show's over and be like, when are we doing this? As soon as they say shields are in there, and I don't know if they are, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let me know if they're already in there. I'm totally down to run a bunch yeah. of missions and do it. And I'm sure it'll be, I get a dumb bandana or, you know, a backpack or whatever, but it's like, hell yeah. Like, I want to brag that I love the Division and I was there early and I was there for a long time and
no,
enjoyed
you've got
it.
No, you've got that Fantasy Star Online item. You've got your mag. Yeah. You've got your... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally I want to get in there and be a part of it. So, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think learning from Destiny 2's mistakes is another huge part of it. Shields being the first example of that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think this has a marvelous advantage coming out several months after Destiny 2 did... launched to extraordinary fanfare and then kind of fall flat on its face for a while. What do you think? Do you think the Division's going to repeat any of those mistakes or do you think that they pretty much...
I mean, I... Hopefully, Massive's been sitting there with their cup of coffee watching through the blinds their neighbor and be like, oof, let's just not do that. Let's not deal. So it is like... the microtransaction system that they have in there and the way they use I played it and thought it was fair and it was great and blah blah.
Yeah.
Keep it the same. Don't suddenly take shaders and lock them behind or you know what I mean? Don't pull the Destiny stuff that everybody hated. Make it easy to get into, just improve on everything you already did. Makes don't sense. Fix what isn't broken.
Word.
Trent wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, hello, Greg and Jared.
Greetings.
Am I the only one that expected more fanfare with the announcement that Division 2 is being worked on? I feel like it could have been a huge moment at E3 with a teaser on stage. With the year Ubisoft has had, like really hot damn, and the new Siege expansion that launched this week, I doubt it was a fiscal year decision to get the info out now. Curious to hear what you gentlemen think. Thank you to everyone at KF for all of you do, and keep respecting that chicken.
Sure. I don't know what to do about fiscal year because I don't know Ubisoft's quarterly system. I don't know where they report
They've already done their... It isn't a fiscal thing. They've done their, like, here's how we ended on the quarter. Here's what's going on.
Well, we are fairly late in March, and revenue recognition is a weird thing. Yeah. You know, every company handles it differently, but it does affect when a company wants to say things sometimes. Yeah. So
I think this is a smart way to go. Whereas I think that where... For Honor's been in the news, right, with dedicated servers lately, but the fact that it did so well after the fact, Siege has been is not nonstop in the news, all these different things. Division is a two-year-old game that I really don't think gets the coverage or talked about that much mm-hmm. anymore. And I think recently it's come up because, hey, they put out this patch and it's great. But again, it's people like me saying, hey, they put out the patch and it's great. And I'm not going to go play it, but it's out there. I know people like it. I think this is smart because, of course, E3 is about getting caught off guard and getting surprised and what are these big things. Right now, what they've done, it said, hey, guess what? The Division 2 is coming. We're going to talk about it at E3.
Yeah.
Which suddenly has every Division person or who loved the Division like myself out here saying how great it was, let alone me saying, I'm going to go back and play this two-year-old game to get these shields. Like, they've set up the expectations so that there might actually be more hype for Division when you get there.
I think there's a lot to be said for announcing a game well before E3, but not showing much until E3.
And that's the thing of, like, I think people right now, I'm going to jump back in. Cool. I'll bring other people. People for the first time are going to jump back in because they've jumped in. They've heard how great it is. And so hopefully by the time you get there, you're like, oh, man, all right, let's see what Division 2 is all about. And they come out and blow it out of the water and actually have fanfare because now there's juice behind them.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Number two on the Roper Report today. Actually, I think while this is happening, right, President Trump is meeting with the video game industry, apparently. We have a list here from CNN, as given to us by Jason Schreier, of course. Members of Congress attending this video game presidential meeting, of course, are Senator Mark Rubio, Representative Vicky Hartzler, thank you, Representative Martha Robbie. Martha. Then, from the video game industry, here is the external list of participants. Mr. Strauss Zelnick, Take-Two Interactive, the former chairman of the ESA, CEO of Rockstar Games as well. Mr. Brent Bozell, Media Research Center. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, retired. This, you might know this guy's name because he is the author of On Killing, The Psychological Cost of Learning to Kill in War and Society, and Assassination Generation, Video Games, Aggression, and the Psychology of Killing. This is something Jason Schreier pointed out of how sloppy this whole meeting has been put together. The official list says Mr. Pat Vance, President of the Entertainment Software Rating Board. That is actually Ms. Patricia Vance, President of the Entertainment Software Rating Board.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Mike Gallagher, President and CEO of the Entertainment Software Association. Mr. Robert Altman, Chairman and CEO of ZeniMax Media, parent company of Bethesda.
Not the award-winning director, then.
No, I don't think so. Right. And then Melissa Henson, Mother from Parents Television Council. Sorry for me fumbling around some of that.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
You added to this story a Washington Post quote, correct?
Yeah, just a very short one. President Trump is set to pit the video game industry against some of the harshest critics at the White House meeting on Thursday that's designed to explore the link between violent video games, guns, and tragedy such as last month's shooting in Parkland, Florida. Following the attack at Marjorie Stoneman High School, which left 17 students dead, Trump has said violent games are, quote, shaping young people's thoughts, end quote. The president has proposed that we, quote, we have to do something about maybe what they're seeing and how they're seeing it, end quote. I put that quote in there because the question is, do we, and when I say we, a civic government, have sure. to do something about what they're seeing and how they're seeing it? And by they, I assume he means the innocent eyes and minds of the children of America. This is a discussion that goes back a very, very long time. You can turn on C-SPAN and go back and watch the 1994 hearings on Night Trap, Mortal Kombat, and Lethal Enforcers.
Sure.
Where it's a very different political climate, by the way. The Brady Bill was being discussed, and gun control legislation was going on. And a lot of the people on that panel that are, frankly, aggressive toward the video games industry reps that are there are Democrats, in this case. Joe Lieberman's there. You have Herbert Cole there. And Herbert Cole holding a justifier revolver up over light gun up over his head is one of the great images in internet history, I think. With thanks to Ray Barnholt, who pointed out that these hearings are all on C-SPAN, and you can go watch them there. But the thrust of those hearings, Greg, back then was, hey, we're trying to institute gun control, and here's this really realistic, quote unquote, giant teal blue gun being sold in advertising, we think obviously to children. And then you have Howard Lincoln from Nintendo at the time, a high ranking person there, kind of leaping at the throat of Sega, going, oh yeah, they're bad. They don't love your family. And he kind of throws them just to the wolves and thrown to the committee and attacks us like, they knew Night Trap was going to go to children. And Sega's like, no, man, ratings sound good. Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Put them on boxes. It's a video game. It's fine,
yeah. I don't want to go on a long rant. I do want to say this. This kind of discussion has been going on for a long time, and it's been going on largely as theater. President Obama, after Sandy Hook, called for a discussion about video games. But what he called for was congressionally funded research into the effect of violent video games on children.
Sure.
Why not research? That's a reasonable request. And if that's what comes out of this meeting, I'm okay with that. But what I'm worried we're going to get here instead, unfortunately, is a dog and pony show. Maybe that's unfair of me to say, but I think that that fits with the modus operandi of this administration. I make no secret about my political affiliation. I'm a very liberal person. I'm not particularly ashamed of that, but I think that's a disclosure this audience deserves. I hope you're not stuffing your ears and screaming yet hearing that. But I think many issues transcend this idea of political polarity, Greg. We have this mental image that's very handy for us of left and right, conservative and liberal, and that there are just two poles and that we exist along. And I think that's a very convenient and also very false way to look at policy. Why are there only two extremes? Why can't there be a third extreme? Why can't there be a fourth and a fifth and a sixth?
Because life's binary, Jerry.
Exactly. But what? Well, yeah. But life isn't binary. Zoroastrianism is binary. And yes, day and night, it's ingrained in us. The sun and the moon, the day and the night, the winter and the summer. We see these. But that's not politics. That's nature. And that's a very different thing.
Yeah.
We can be pro-choice and pro-gun. We really can.
Yeah.
Or we can be. And
go the other way. Too.
Exactly. Yeah. And people can have views that don't all line up with one or the other. They can be all over the place.
Are you telling me that thoughts can be diverse?
You can't
just be put on one side of a spectrum?
Not only can thoughts be diverse, and there's nothing revolutionary about this, but sometimes an idea is so transparently exploitative and idiotic that we can all look at it, regardless of our presuppositions and regardless of our political affiliations and predispositions, look at it and go, nah, that's just silly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think holding a high-profile meeting where you put this particular group of people in a room together.
Brian Crescente over at Rolling Stone, right? He was Glixel, whatever, was quick to point out the fact that there's no scientists on this. There's no researchers on this.
Yes.
We have done these studies before.
Right.
None of those people are represented.
Yeah. When you watch the 94 hearings, there are scholars there. There are scientists there. And that's just it. You have a bunch of quack hacks, and then you have a bunch of industry reps, and you're throwing them in a high profile, thrown together meeting at the last second because you don't want to talk about the fact that the kids got shot and that happened with a gun. And whatever you think about the availability of guns, and I'm a gun owner, I'm with Eddie Izzard on this, or at least I think he says something very profound when he says, guns don't kill people, people kill people, but I rather think the gun helps. Video games are not a weapon. Video games are not projecting a piece of metal at supersonic speeds through bodies and exploding our neighbors. They are, at their best, a beautiful art form, and at their worst, a lousy, sometimes tacky distraction that's exploitatively manipulated. But they are not the menace that led to this situation, and pretending that they are is gross. And I think that that's so obvious here that we can all agree on it. And as you keep saying, not get distracted. Whatever the solution to school violence is, whatever you believe it is, this ain't it. That's what I got to say about this.
No,
that was a long rant.
Yeah, it's what needs to be said, though, right? I mean, like, I feel like when we come up, I keep saying, don't get distracted, right? Like, and you're saying the exact same thing, right? Like, there are a lot of things we need to figure out as a country. Yeah. And it's gun control, and it's mental health, and it's the lobby groups' availability to influence Congress and all. There's so much. It's such a complicated ball of wax.
Yeah.
But I understand why we as an industry, why we as fans, and I'm including you in the industry, right? Video games. Why we want to bristle and fight this, because the last thing I feel like doing right now, and as everything else seems to be going to hell, or we're fighting so many other fights, is now to backslide where I'm having an argument that I was having in 1994.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating about it. You bring up mental health. Wherever your perspective is on mental health in this debate, and there's a lot to be talked about there, because I think mental health often ends up being a whipping boy.
Sure.
You know, I'm switching insurances, and right now I'm between them. You know, I just got out of a mental hospital. I can't afford to go to mental health services as often as I did before.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you think about economics, I think the fact that there are people that obviously need mental health treatment that maybe can't afford to get as much as they need, and I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
There are people in much worse shape,
sure,
that cannot get what they need. Well, if you're going to talk about, you think that's a part of this, then why aren't we addressing that? Why aren't we talking about whatever measures of gun control might be reasonable? Why is this happening? Why are we wasting an hour of anybody's time with this event?
Yeah.
I do think research on video game violence is important.
100%. I've said this, and that's the whole thing, is I've said it from the time this argument's happened. I don't think we can sit here as educated, smart people and talk about the games that have made me cry and made me feel and given me joy and not have, well, if they can make me feel all that,
mm-hmm.
Is there the side of the spectrum that increases my anger, that does all they do? I don't think it's not like fucking heavy metal, like, because this is the same thing, right? we had the argument with rock and roll and heavy metal and video and rap music and video, and it's like it's all the same fucking thing. That if you play the Aussie thing backwards, it's the devil talking.
The satanic panic. Right?
And so I don't think you fucking play Call of Duty or Doom or whatever. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna simulate shooting my school, my office, my whatever by doing it. Like that's not. It's not a simple A to B connection, mm-hmm. but I do want to know if there is an A to F connection in there. If the, you know, we should be looking at this. I do want to know these things. I do want ratings to exist. I do mm-hmm. want loot boxes to be put on the label so parents know what's going on and they know what they're getting into. But that's the whole thing, is that it all dials back to being a parent and how yeah. much. It's such a ball of wax. Don't get distracted. We're getting distracted.
Yeah.
I'm distracting you from the big news. Number three, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is official. Shoot your guns in the air in celebration. Woohoo! Kotaku has this more on this, of course. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. One of the basketball players showed up with the logo, or maybe 2 days ago, logo of the four tick marks on there, right?
Yeah.
Kotaku reports publisher Activision did not reveal much more information other than the fact that it is official, adding that the developer Treyarch will share more details on May 17th with the game coming out October 12th for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I think I have two comments about this. Yes. Wait, well, I have three. Here's Andy Cortez.
Just keep talking.
All right.
Keep doing the show. Just look at Jared, though. Look at Jared.
All right, what's going on here?
Oh, my beard's all screwed up?
Wow.
From kindoffunny.com/KFGD, Kebabs writes in and says, good morning, kind of, did it look really bad?
There was like a...
Andy's trimming
my beard. There were some spots where you could see more skin. So I'm just sort of...
Fix it, yeah, thank you. This is very good, thank you.
Wow. Do you have a separate comb?
What do you use a trimmer on your beard, right?
Well, yeah, actually, I have my beard trimmed. I never do it myself.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to do it myself. Now I have somebody else do it. Actually, it's getting kind of scraggly.
Yours
right
look
now.
Really good. Like, really? I would like mine about that length, I think.
Okay, well, I have this done. But yeah, I go in, I have somebody do it
for me. Beard date?
Yeah, beard date, absolutely.
Kebab says, good morning, KFG. GD crew. I was looking at the tally mark logo for Black Ops 4, and it occurred to me that the logo might be referring to something specific to the Army. The rank chevrons seen on military uniforms. You know, those yellow stripes seen on the upper arm a lot of the time. While none of them look like the Black Ops 4 logo, they do show a case of serial escalation and just add more dashes, much like the logo of Black Ops 4. Not hard proof, but at least it, squints eyes, somewhat justified, I guess. People are making a mountain out of the molehill with these tally marks.
Got those chevrons right there. I do love a good chevron.
Everybody wants to fucking dump on Call of Duty and make fun of them, and they don't understand Roman numeral. It's like, it's hash marks, or it's not. Who cares? You know what's Call of Duty 4?
It's advertising.
It's Black Ops 4. Big deal. They want to own the logo. They don't want it just to be a boring Roman numeral.
And I think the chevron's kind of a cool way to do it if you want to do it. I mean, it's four chevrons is what? It depends on the service. Maybe Master Service. It's E6, I think.
Well, I don't know.
It's E6.
BJ Bumgarner writes in also with a Call of Duty question and says, with the confirmation of Call of Duty Black Ops 4 today, we got a release date of October 12th, which is nearly 3 or 4 weeks before Call of Duty's traditional first week of November release date. Is this to beat Red Dead Redemption 2 and the new Battlefield to market, or some other reason? BJ, I bet it's because of Red Dead.
I think that it's fair to say that just about everybody who makes video games just doesn't want to be anywhere near that.
Red Dead's going October 26th. Let's go a little bit before then, so people get their 2 weeks of playtime with us before everyone's dominated by being
everyone
a cowboy.
On the entire planet Earth is playing Red Dead for months, and every article you read on GameSpot and IGN and Kotaku and
here's all the secrets. Find this, do that, blah blah.
I've been there.
Let's talk about this quest of this thing, and with good reason, it'll be the zeitgeist. It is going to be your end of October on 26th.
Isn't it nice just being like, you know what? This game is coming and there's so much hype and there's just near certainty that it's going to be just as great as we're all hoping.
Yeah.
That's rare and wonderful.
Yeah.
But with Red Dead, I think that it's fair to say everybody just wants to stay out of the way.
100%. Yeah. They don't want to get lost in that conversation. Number four, this is a Jared Petty joint. Peripheral patents for Switch have been filed. This is via IGN. Nintendo has filed a patent for the Switch that includes Donkey Konga drums. The patent was filed in the U.S. on August 2017, and pertains to a set of, quote, extended input devices for the Nintendo Switch. It has only been made public today. Examples shown include a keyboard peripheral and a pair of bongo drums that look similar to the device used in 2004's Donkey Konga for the Nintendo GameCube.
So this is probably a CYA patent. I used to run some of the rumor stuff.
What's a CYA patent?
It's cover your ass.
Oh, okay.
I used to be do a lot of rumor stuff for IGN. One of the things I would do would be dig through patent filings and pull out these graphs of things Nintendo might be doing with their next system.
Of course.
Or other creators. And sometimes ideas pop up that never get made, but they're like, hey, this is a pretty good idea, and we've got tech behind it. Let's make sure we protect that idea.
For us as Podcast Beyond, right, there's the infamous, the DualShock that had the move wand light bulbs on top that then broke apart. Like it was you can hold it like a regular DualShock, but then you could separate it. So you'd have it all in one.
Akimbo twin blades.
Exactly, right. Okay. Yeah.
Kind of rad, actually.
Yeah,
layer 2 specific controller
no,
right there.
God, nope. No.
All right,
God,
there
no.
we are. But I don't know why I brought up layer. Anyway, I put this down, one, because I think these things are interesting and it's neat to speculate because this could indicate some possible.
Always good to hold in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, also, yeah. I really want those bongo controllers back
because. Yeah.
I actually really like the game. And, it was fun. I like rhythm games. I'm not good at rhythm games, but I really like playing them. I like them when they have a weird, cool hook.
Sure.
I'm so excited about Taiko Drum Master coming to Switch. I just can't wait.
Oh, I didn't
wait.
Know that. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for Taiko Drum Master on Switch. I love those games. You've ever played the arcade version before?
Yeah, I've played the arcade. Yeah.
It's incredible. But also at home, it's a lot of fun, too, if you have that old PlayStation kit. Anyway, wonderful. So, yes, a chance to beat on bongos and do goofy things, but also this kind of ties into what we saw with Labo, etc. I just think, hey, what else could Nintendo plug into one of these things and make fun to do? And it does lead to some interesting possibilities. Labo is just one expression of this. If they continue to follow this down
is
the path.
Is it Labo or Labo? We've been saying Labo around here.
I don't know. I'm using, I don't know.
Okay.
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Get on my page and start saying Labo. We're making Labo a thing.
I think
everybody gabbos about Labo.
So I'm being that guy. I think it's probably from the Japan thing.
Sure, like, but I'm being that guy. This is fucking America.
Well, that's often good because you don't want to be Ross Geller and say karate.
Karate. Number 5. There might be some Monster Hunter news coming. This is via GameSpot. We may have a better idea of the future of Monster Hunter World very soon, as Capcom is planning a stream next week. It will take place in Japan next Wednesday at 4 a.m. Pacific time. Though the Japanese announcement doesn't specify the stream's focus, it does promise, quote, the latest details on Monster Hunter World, pointing to an impending announcement. This is marketed as a spring reveal stream, and we already know the studio is planning to release its first big content update this spring. That will introduce the insatiable beast, Devil Jeho.
I think it's Devil Joe.
Devil Joe. I don't know. I just when I see a word I don't know, I just run through it. I hope I nail it.
You hope for it. You got to do that
devil,
sometimes.
Say it again.
You know what? When it's a made-up word, who cares? Okay, I just said Labo wrong.
Say it again, the devil.
I think it's Devil Joe.
Devil Joe.
Devil Joe.
Devil Joe. Yeah. But what else might be coming in the update is still under wraps. We've also seen speculation that the new monster is actually coming this Friday, in which case the next week's stream might explain the roadmap going forward. Remember, we're streaming Monster Hunter World tomorrow, this Friday.
Yeah.
2 p.m. Pacific, so 5 p.m. Pacific, is me and Big Kev Dog taking Cisco, yes, the thong song Cisco, through his story, helping him out over there.
You're going to enter the dragon.
Well, no. I'll enter the game with the dragon.
Okay.
I'm not entering the dragon. Come on now.
Well, he's entering the game.
Yes. He's already been playing.
Yeah.
But now it's time for us to come down from our godlike tier and help him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He should be blessed. I can't wait. We're running long, but you know I love Monster Hunter. I want to know what this is all going to be about. And then number 6, a quick one for you. Top PSN downloads for the month of February 2018. Over on PlayStation 4, Monster Hunter World continued its domination. Still at the number 1 spot. That's 2 months in a row. NBA Live 18, the 1 edition. Shadow of the Colossus. Woo! EA Sports FIFA 18. Madden NFL 18. EA Sports UFC 3. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Kingdom Come Deliverance at number 9. And then number 10, Gang Beasts.
Gang Beasts.
Huh.
There's all a right, surprise.
Gang Beasts. Yeah, keep it going, Gang Beasts. Over on the PlayStation VR side, number 1, Super Hot. Number 2, Job Simulator. 3, PlayStation VR Worlds. 4, I Expect You to Die. 5, Drive Club VR. 6, Doom VFR. Number 7, Moss.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I would have expected Moss to go higher. Moss deserves to be higher. Moss is a great game. Granted, it came out late in the month, so I understand why. But still, let's get it up there this month. All right, everybody? Dust off your VR headsets. I can't talk enough good stuff about Moss. Yep. Go watch last week's Gamescast with Xavier Woods. You can hear me talk about it. Number 8, Batman VR. Sprint Vector at number 9. Number 10, Arizona Sunshine. Nobody should be playing that. Of course, I left it out because there's too much stuff to promote.
It's my favorite flavor of tea.
New PlayStation VR show episodes are available if you want to support us because you love us. Just a buck gets you early access to Drunken Bar Fight over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you don't have the buck to give us, I understand. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and get Dr. Nick Scarpino playing Surgeon Simulator VR.
All right.
Jared, I can't wait for the new monster to come to Monster Hunter.
You can't wait for that.
No, but it's still so far away. It could be tomorrow.
It could be Friday.
It could be. It's still far away. If I want to know what came to Mom and Grop Digital Shops today, where would I go?
I think you go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today. It is Thursday. That means the Switch is choking on games. If I say a game's name and not a platform, it means it's a Switch title. The Trail Frontier Challenge, which sounds like Oregon Trail, but I don't want to get excited.
Oregon Trail. Have you ever played Oregon Trail?
I couldn't get into it. I tried.
I liked Oregon Trail. Yeah. I thought it was kind of a worthy Oregon Trail. I did get one of those Oregon Trail handhelds that are Target exclusive.
That. It looked awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It really is.
Bring it's in next wonderful. Time. I
play it. Yeah, you want to play with it? Yeah. Okay. I tried to find one for Gary, but they were sold out, so I got to go find another one someplace.
Okay. AC Neo Geo Real Bout Fatal Fury.
I'm big fan of the Neo Geo stuff that shows up on Switch, but Fatal Fury is not my thing.
Okay. A Whole New World, hole spelled like a hole in the ground. Bit Dungeon Plus, Bleed 2, Earth Lock, I Zombie, which is interesting. Is that Rahul?
I don't know.
Midnight Deluxe. Starenden Binary Stars.
No idea.
The Men of Yoshiwara. Oh Gia. Is that how to do on that one? OGI there?
I think that might be misspelled. That Ogia.
Okay. World Conqueror X. Brick through on the Nintendo eShop for the Nintendo 3DS. PlayStation 4 is getting a firmware update. It's mandatory. You have to get it 5.5. Ooh. Adds a bunch of cool stuff like backgrounds. And you can change. Your PlayStation Plus games are organized differently. Get in there. Try it out. Warhammer Vermintide 2 is on PC. Audio Beats is on PlayStation VR. Root Double Before Crime After Days Extended Edition is on PlayStation Vita. God help you. And some reason, I put the trail again.
Well, you just really want to play Oregon Trail.
I like to start it and end it with the trail.
Oregon Trail's awesome.
It is. Someone just put that out again.
Yeah.
New dates. Tesla vs. Lovecraft is coming March 13th on PlayStation 4. Torn is coming to PlayStation VR this spring. Mm. Galactic Pocket Billiards is coming to Steam in March 2018. And 1979 Revolution. Black Friday is coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One this spring as well.
1979 Revolution, a game worth taking a look at.
That's what I was reading. I missed it when it came out, I guess, to PC, and I was reading about it. I was like, huh, this actually sounds cool.
Yeah, it is a really interesting game about the Iranian Revolution. What's the gameplay like? It's decision-making, walking simulator adventure game, Telltale-esque.
Okay.
But it's totally worth looking at.
All right, cool. Spring. Look forward to you. Yeah. Deals of the day for you. That's right. This show's so jam-packed. I have two deals of the day.
Two.
Daybreak Games has announced that H1Z1 is going to be free to play. This is via IGN. The Battle Royale game will be available for download on PC free of charge today, starting around 10 a.m., so you should already have it. As a thank you to those who supported H1Z1 during its time in early access, everyone who already purchased the game will receive the H1Z1 Appreciation Pack, which includes 10,000 skulls and 10 victory crates, as well as a Gas Runner hoodie, Bloom Survivor t-shirt, and Splinter Camo ARV.
I love to imagine the H1Z1 Appreciation Pack as a physical reward.
Yeah.
It just pulls up to your house and then a dump truck with 10,000 skulls just pours on top of you.
Get out of my front yard. Mike Azaleas.
What if they were squirrel skulls?
That'd be a lot smaller. That'd be more manageable than I was thinking of 10,000 human skulls.
Yeah.
And then also EA Origin Access. That program where you get a bunch of EA games and stuff, is adding some Warner Brothers stuff. This is via Polygon. Warner's Batman games, including Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Origins, will be added to the Vault, which allows players to access older games for a monthly fee. 3 Lego Batman games are also being added. EA says it will soon be adding The Witness, Out of the Park Baseball 19, Lost Castle, Bulletstorm Light, the 2011 game without its multiplayer, and Wasteland 2 to Origin Access. Now, it's time to check into the readers. But first, let me tell you, Reader Mail is brought to you by MeUndies. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable, right? Don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month they have a new and exciting print to show you, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love MeUndies. They don't pay me to say this part of the ad. I pay them for the undies. I've never gotten a discount through my own thing. We didn't have a sponsorship. They didn't send them free, but I bought them off somebody else's podcast.
Okay.
Wear them every day. Let's see what I got on today.
What you got on today?
I pulled them up high because I'm also wearing this outfit.
Yeah.
And the shirt's a little tight.
That's a little high-waisted anyway. I can see it. No. That's a good outfit, by the way.
I'm just wearing my perps. Just my perps, everybody. Oh, matches my shirt. Perps
look
on,
at that.
Perps on his black man.
So, like, when you take off your pants and take off your sweater, you kind of look like just this awesome plum.
100%.
Yeah. I like plums.
That's correct.
No, that's a good look for you.
Thank you. Definitely. Thank you. Oh, MeUndies uses lensing micro model in their underwear. It's a sustainably sourced natural soft fiber. I'm just running through it. That starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabrics you ever experienced. The results have been downright dreamy. They are incredibly soft. That's why I keep buying them. It's why I had to throw away my other underwear. Because they weren't as soft.
You threw away other underwear?
I had to. I had to.
You purged your underwear?
I had to. These are too good. So then as you get to the other underwear, you're like, oh, these suck. I don't want to wear these.
I do love good feeling underwear.
I'm telling you. This is the deal for you. Yeah. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. MeUndies guarantees you will love the undies or your money back. Right now, they have an exclusive offer for you listeners. For any first-time purchasers like Jared Petty, when you purchase any undies, MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so sure you love the underwear, they offer the 100% satisfaction guarantee. This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off your first pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever own. To get your 20% off the first pair, free shipping, and that satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily.
I'm very excited about this. I love, purple's my favorite color.
Sure.
So right now, I'm already just amazed by your underwear choice. I like
the purple underwear because then they remind me of Back to the Future. Remember when he was wearing the purple? I've never seen purple underwear before.
Calvin Klein. Yeah. That's right. Got that Calvin Klein. I'm just imagining right now your butt cheeks each just kind of look like really cool, like California raisin butt.
Well, they're not as like wrinkly. But
you think the California race? I was imagining like having plums. Smooth butts.
Oh, no. They're super wrinkly. Yeah, you remember these commercials.
I remember.
Mario, shout out to you. Your question was like, what, you know, hey, any games you, it was about The Division, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, are there some major AA or AAA games you didn't play until after they came out? And you were talking about that.
Oh, I love
that. It came up naturally.
Yeah, that's something that I really enjoy, just going back and playing games that I missed the first time around.
Yeah.
My Pokemon attempts have usually been in the zeitgeist. That's something that I end up going back to.
Sure.
But like, for example, Bloodborne is something that I really didn't get as into when it came out because I was busy with other projects. And so going back and getting my fingers on that, that's something I really enjoyed going back to. I'm trying to think of other stuff that I've just gone. I say I do it. Now I've got to remember when I've done it.
That's the thing. For me, it's so rare, I think. Uh-huh. I mean, unless it's something I played and stopped and then I come back to because I was trying to get back to it.
GTA, San Andreas. Was something that I missed when it was a big deal and then came back to. I just wasn't playing it at that point. So I went back to GTA 3 and I was like, wow, this is like a year old and I have completely never touched it. And I love GTA games.
Yeah.
But I was just GTA like, I haven't been around for a while. And when San Andreas came out, I just sort of missed the thing. So that was one I went back to. It's actually a lot of these if I think about them a little bit. A lot of imports type stuff. Final Fantasy V, that's a game that I didn't discover till much, much later in life.
Yeah.
I didn't realize just how bodacious that was. Everything on the Sega Genesis, because when I was a kid, I thought the Genesis sucked because they were just trying to sell me hockey games and Sonic.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to play hockey games and Sonic.
Sure.
And I didn't understand how diverse and wonderful that library is. I'd never seen Shining Force, and I'd never seen Gunstar Heroes, and I'd never seen General Chaos and things like that. So I didn't realize just how one, and there's more of these I could go down, definitely.
Sure. I guess for me, the only thing not in the zeitgeist would be that when I played Jade Empire on Parker in college's Xbox, I went out and bought an Xbox and then went Knights of the Old Republic and then Knights of the Old Republic 2 and started catching up that way.
Just burn right through them.
Yeah, I do. It's too good. Too damn good. Robert Mims has what will be a quick question. Greg and Jared, today we were given the release date for the last episode of Batman The Enemy Within, March 27th. I didn't realize that was today. I thought we knew that. Sorry, that should have gone on new dates. But episode 5, Batman The Enemy Within, March 27th. We're all extremely excited to see the Joker in all of his clown prince glory. Greg, is there any chance of getting a spoiler cast after season 2 ends? I'd love to hear you and the Kinda Funny family talk about the season, maybe with a certain extremely attractive, gravelly voiced blonde man, or a Skype call from Anthony, the Joker himself. Either way, keep up all the hard work and have a great day. Robert, for sure I'll talk about it on Gamescast when we wrap up the season. I don't think a full spoiler cast will happen because I think I'm the only one in the office that plays it. So that makes it hard to have like a long running discussion, but I'll probably in Gamescast spoil stuff for you and we'll go from there. I'm behind. I didn't do episode 4 yet. I'm letting it stack.
You gotta keep stacking it up.
When 5 hits, I'll just play them all.
Nice thing about those episodes, don't take too long.
No, that's the good 2 hours at max.
But 2 hours is a lot of time for you right now. You're a busy man.
Please. But for Batman, I can make it happen.
Nobody's too busy for
Anthony
Batman.
Gruber. I can make it happen. Troy Baker. Not going to make it happen. Mark Lark writes in and says, will Monster Hunter World go the way of Resident Evil 7? What I mean is, will it be forgotten like Resident Evil because it was released so early in the year? I think Monster Hunter will have some legs because it's an ongoing game, but will it suffer any Game of the Year snubs or accolades because it was released in January?
I think Capcom will do its best to make sure we do not forget about Monster Hunter World by releasing a steady stream of content. new content to make sure it stays in our minds.
I would argue, too, with all due respect, Mark, that I don't think Resident Evil 7 was snubbed. It made it my top 10 list. We talked about it in our Game of the Year stuff. Mm-hmm. People talked about it for VR and horror at the end of the year. It wasn't up for Game of the Year, but with all due respect, I don't think it was Game of the Year, and I think that's why that happened.
And it does hurt games sometimes to come out early. I think about...
But it hurts them in the way of, I feel, when we're, oh, here's Game of the Year list. What are your top 10? And I go Resident Evil, and everybody's like, oh, fuck!
Was that
Resident
this year?
Evil came out this year, but you once you're reminded, you remember how much you like it.
Exactly.
Monster Hunter, I don't think, is going to struggle that way at all, because I think, Monster Hunter is going to continue to be this story of people are still playing this game. And granted, it's going to ebb and flow, but it's going to be, hey, guess what? It's summer at E3. We revealed a monster. We're dropping in September, and everybody jumps back on and remembers how much they love that game.
Yeah, I think Capcom knows that they've got they like money.
Yes, they do.
And
they're making a lot of it right now with Monster Hunter. They're not going to get in the way of that.
Yeah.
And then this is the one I alluded to earlier in the episode, Jared. Detective Ben Malone writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Destiny 2 is arguably, parentheses, not really, a big disappointment to the Destiny community. With the current changes and changes in the works, strike scoring, nightfall strike challenge cards, masterwork weapons and armor, mods 2.0, rumble mode, private matches, and March's sandbox tuning. Oh, March, like March possessive sandbox tuning. Do you think Destiny 2 could make a comeback in March? Or do we have to wait until September? Or is Destiny unsalvageable? I'm a day one Destiny fan, and I hope this game isn't dead already. I'm a recent fan of your show and look forward to listening daily. Thanks for making awesome content. No, thank you, Ben Malone. I think Destiny's far from dead. You're fine. You're a day one Destiny fan, you say, Detective. So you know more than me, but I feel with Vanilla, I feel like we were in a very similar situation where it came out, a lot of people played it, a lot of people left. So the people who stayed were like, this first DLC sucks. And then they dropped the big one, the Wolf one, right?
Don't ask me about Destiny.
The light thing that let you bring up and let you jump back in. Everybody's like, oh, fuck, this is awesome. This is what we wanted. I feel Destiny 2 is going to be the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Where right now they're in stealth mode, talking just to their community. Here's what's going on. The eyes of everyone aren't on them anymore. So they get to make their changes, do all these things, and then whenever they get that next the big expansion, they get to come out and be like, we listened, we changed, everybody come back.
If they can get it out promptly enough and it's as feature-rich as it needs to be and fixes what needs fixed, I think they're fine. If something else rises up in the vacuum that fits that same market, that's a little more dicey.
Yeah, that's the big thing is if they come back and everything's great, like if they did it right now, I'd be like, oh, cool, okay, and I'd jump in, but it's got to be better than Monster Hunter because I'm enjoying Monster Hunter too much to make my switch over there.
But I'm thinking about
the Division 2 comes.
And I'm thinking about a shooter. That's really I'm wondering if there's that same kind of multiplayer immersive loot drop shooter and it's out there and it's that, because I do, I mean, PUBG is obviously doing wonderful, but I really do worry as, you know, being the front runner, being where they've been, having to deal with the cheating issues, having to deal with the fact that the game wasn't finished, constantly trying to stay ahead of the curve. And I look as the marketplace fills up with rivals, if that happened to Destiny 2, it could be bad for it.
Yeah.
At the same time, you don't want to rush your content out and just make people more angry.
Good point. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays video games together. Today, none other than Detective Ben Malone needs help on PC. His handle on that there PC is DET Ben Malone. So Detective Ben Malone all shoved together.
Yeah, I'll take
that. I like that. I thought it was when I originally read the question. It's like, oh, he gave himself a funny title.
Yeah.
Then when I got to squad up, I was like, oh, he's really all in on this. Maybe he's a real detective.
You know, I appreciate commitment.
DET Ben Malone. He says he needs help because I mostly play on Friday nights, but most of my friends play Destiny 2 on PlayStation 4. He needs help in Destiny 2 on PC. I really like mouse and keyboard, but I don't have many people to play with on PC. Seriously, LFG on PC is just a gif of a tumbleweed. Please come grind some Destiny 2 with me. DET Ben Malone, all one word. Destiny 2 on PC. Go friggin' play it, folks.
Yeah, I sympathize with this pain. I do think that most things that we, you know, make fun of around platforms are mostly just superfluous, but if you're committed to one type of control, if it's something you just happen to enjoy more, that when you're in a community that's underserved like that, it is very frustrating. Yeah. I'm a mouse and keyboard guy when it comes to my shooters. So when I play with a controller, I'll do it if I'm playing with friends, but it's not
what you want to do.
It doesn't feel natural to me. Yeah. Likewise, for many people, controllers are just what work for them.
Oh yeah, for me, that's how it's gotta be.
But when you go into a community, you're like, there's nobody here. Where's everybody? Yeah, it's hard. I get that part.
Jared. Believe it or not, I got a rotating segment, and it's all about you. Ryan T. wrote in for a brand new segment to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg, I am really loving Jared as a new host. He brings a fresh and just lovely present to the show. But sometimes I worry that Jared might not be getting his daily sodium intake, especially with the new diet he's talking about. So I propose a new segment, Jared Gets Salty. For this, hopefully weekly segment, Jared gets a minute to speak his mind about something that's bugging him or that he just wants to say about the industry. Love the positivity. Keep doing what you do. Ryan T. from Tennessee.
All right.
Are you salty about anything?
I am absolutely salty. I mean, I ran it a little bit before about one thing I'm salty about today.
Yeah,
I mean, but I think I could go into a different thing. Hold on.
Hold on. I'm getting kind of funny. You're wrong, loaded. I'm going to also look over here and give you 1 minute. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, go.
I think it's important to have a responsible conversation about video game violence. I do think we should do research on how it affects us. I think research is important, that research needs to be balanced, that research needs to come from legitimate sources, and it needs not to be primarily politically motivated, but rather treated as the fact-based, well-conducted research it should be. However, that being said, I don't have a particular problem with video game violence. On top of that, I think we have too much of a problem with other things in video games. What other things? Oh, like sex or religion or politics. Why do we not want to touch these in video games? Well, because they don't sell particularly well. I understand that. Yes, sex sells, but until you get that backlash, that moral American backlash against sex. But guess what? It's possible to address things in a true M-rated way. Not with the maturity of nudity, but the maturity of adulthood. And I do think that sex and the themes behind it need to be engaged that way. Engaged much more without much less fear, as well as politics and religion, two things the video games industry tries to avoid. We need more of it, and it makes me angry when we don't do it because of money.
And that is 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen, of Jared getting salty. Thank you, Ryan T., for that rotating segment, a new segment. Will it be weekly? Probably not, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, I'd totally be up for that.
Well, I'm the host, so fuck you, all right? We'll see what happens. I'll get salty.
Listen here. You want some salt? I'll throw some Morton salt on you.
Oh, no.
Spray you with some Morton salt. That's right.
I'll spray you something with saltier than that.
You know what I'm getting? I'm going to get one of those metal loofah things. What are those called? Brillo pads?
Yeah, Brillo pads.
I'm going to wipe it on your flesh, and then I'm going to shoot Morton salt into it right there.
That would
scour you.
No,
that's right. Bartender's keeper. Little lava soap, maybe?
If you watch the show live, you have a special job. You have to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Keep us honest so we can set the record straight. Yell about all our corrections at the end of the show.
Uh-oh.
So that's what we're doing. Here it is. You're wrong. The people went to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. They submitted these things.
How many Labo comments?
Oh, we're not there yet.
It's my favorite Western Rio Labo.
PD0000 says shields are being added to the Division in update 1.8.2 in June. And they put out a roadmap with everything in there. Thank you very much, PD.
Oh, cool.
I'll get Fran on it. Oh, Capitalist Pig put in a correction and then took out the correction because he corrected himself, which I always appreciate.
Okay.
No, that's not good. No. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Lucar Wolf says, Nintendo of America employees say Lab O on the Nintendo Power podcast.
Okay.
Destiny expansions were The Dark Below, House of Wolves, that's what I'm thinking of, The Taken King, and Rise of Iron.
All right. Lab O.
Lab O. Kebabs says, iZombie is not associated with a TV show. It's a top-down game where you play as a zombie and command the undead. It has a 9 out of 10 average rating right now on Steam. Remember, kids, you're not a real game until your Steam game is available on Switch.
That's true. Awesome.
Oh. PD000 says, The Trail, Frontier Challenge, is Peter Molyneux's most recent game. Originally on mobile just as The Trail, then released on PC with the subtitle, and now Switch.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I feel silly for not knowing about that.
Crazy Dugs puts in here and says, You're not wrong, but interesting. Game UK only has Black Ops 4 listed for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. No Switch version, contrary to the rumors.
Ah.
We'll see how that all nets out. Coming up soon on that stuff. More Labo stuff.
Yeah.
Doing this
Labo,
stuff.
Labo, Labo, Labo.
I made you out of clay.
Labo, Labo, Labo.
With cardboard, I shall play.
That's very good. I like that.
Oh, this is something I've been wondering about the underwear ad. Car McJustice says, Hey, Greg and Jared, just so you know, Modal is pronounced Modal, not model, as Greg's been saying. Long time, first time, keeping the amazing work. Thank you. I needed that.
Okay.
And then people still trying to talk about Destiny. Just read what the other people have corrected. And then you, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 8th, 2018. Remember, we're recording this before the Nintendo Direct happens. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, or you want to watch... Well, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we'll be doing the reactions. We'll probably go live like 150, 155 right before the Nintendo Direct happens. We'll then live react as we watch it with you. That will then, of course, go up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames if you're listening or watching later and you want to see what we thought of all the jazz as it happened. If something crazy happens, you know Tim's going to go crazy and do the Tim scream. Yep. And if they come out and they fucking give me my dry bones game, I'll go crazy as well.
That's going to be the opposite assault. That's going to be sugar. It's going to be lots and lots of sugar there in that period of time. Lots of happiness, lots of joy. It's going to be real sweet. Oh, man, I'm really happy. I'm predicting the return of the vitality sensor.
Oh, finally. Good. All right, that's what I've been waiting for.
That's what I want.
Tomorrow, the show will be hosted by me and Andrea Renee. But until then, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.